The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Welcome to Bear and Balance. I'm Jeff Berkus, a writer for Windy City Gridiron, and I'm joined by the editor of that fine website, Lester A. Wiltfong Jr. Lester, the Bears come off the bye, hang tough with the one-loss Philadelphia Eagles, but end up losing this one in a tight one. How did you take in the game? How are you feeling about it?
I was expecting a big loss. I mean, I thought the offense would be okay, but I thought ultimately that Eagle offense would just be way too much for the Bears to handle. So, you know, I think that the spread was 9, I think, going into the game. And, you know, I thought there was, the Bears couldn't cover that. So it was, I was surprised it was close. Again, it just kind of shows you the fight that this team has in it. And I'm sure we'll get into that a little more as we go on.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that some people are kind of, they're not into moral victories or they're over the moral victories, yeah. But this is a different level of moral victory to me. This is a team that you could very well see have a deep playoff run, if not all the way to the Super Bowl. This team is balanced. They can beat you through the air. They can beat you on the ground. They are very good defensively. They had the best turnover ratio in the league coming into this game. They were the best at taking away the ball and the best at keeping the ball and not giving it away on offense. Like, the Eagles are a complete balanced team. It's one of those teams that you look at on paper and you say, yes, this is a Super Bowl contending team. The Bears, on the other hand, they've played a lot of games tough, but, you know, this is a team that had 3 wins coming into this. You just didn't and a lot of injuries piling up as well, yeah. And on a roster that's not particularly talented. You just did not expect them to be able to hang tough against an Eagles team.
Well, this is the team that the Bears are striving to be like. You know, they have the quarterback's in his 3rd year. The coaching staff's in its 2nd year. So now as Bears fans, we look, okay, this could be where the Bears end up. I think the Eagles they had a much better base when they began the rebuild than the Bears do. The Bears are really bare bones, like not a lot there. So I think it may take the Bears a little longer than the Eagles did. But, you know, I mean, the Bears, if they play their cards right, Justin Fields takes that step, like, you know, it looks like he's going to take, you know, he's been taking it all year. So why wouldn't he take another step in the offseason? You know, the Bears could be competitive and pushing for playoff spot next year. Then down the line, now we're looking at, yeah, this is the team that competes every year. And it's funny because now the Bears, another team with the Buffalo Bills, Josh Allen quarterback, another quarterback. A lot of Bears fans say, wait, Justin Fields could be on that trajectory. You know, different players, but, you know, not all quarterback progression is going to be the same. So now we're seeing 2 quarterbacks back-to-back, 2 quarterbacks in the MVP discussion. And they both had kind of slow starts to their career. So it's good as Bears fans to see that, you know, oh, these teams here did it. You know, these quarterbacks did it. So why not us for a change?
Yeah, the Eagles kind of had a retool, kind of a rebuild on the fly, like where they were still kind of competitive. They had a ton of veterans. They're still going to be, Fletcher Cox been around a long time. Jason Kelsey's been around a long time. The Bills, you know, who we're going to see here this next week, more on the rebuild track that the Bears were on in terms of kind of flipping it all the way over. But there's a lot of similarities with both of these teams where Bears fans are kind of hoping that these teams go. That's what makes these 2 games interesting. It's not that you would think that the Bears are going to win them. It's that you can learn a lot from where these 2 teams were built. So, you know, where they're built really well is in the trenches. That's for dang sure. So let's start there. Trench Tribute this year is sponsored, of course, by our friends at Portillo's. make sure that you're getting in your entry for the Portillo's Player of the Week to us wherever you get your Bear and Balance. If that's on Twitter, if that's on the YouTube, which, by the way, have we gotten the last YouTube user?
You know, he did not respond to me. I'm going to have to double check that. So the last show, which was after the Packer game, our winner came from the YouTube comments, and YouTube's not like other social media where I can't just message you, DM you. So it's a little harder to get a hold of you. So I'm going to look while you're going through the whole trench run. I'm going to double check real quick, see if I can find who that guy was.
Right. And of course on email to ndcitygridiron@gmail.com. Anyway, get us who you like. You want to, I don't care who it is. I mean, pick a relevant person, but you know, tell us who it is. It doesn't have to be in the trenches. For us, we're going to pick the trenches because that's where football's played. And for me, it's Mike Pinnell. And I said this yesterday on Twitter. I said, this is my guy. And he got a little aggressive on that offsides call. But, you know, the entire defensive line had their helmets across the line there. That was maybe one of the funniest things I've ever seen. But it's really for one play. He had a pass defense. That was nice. Had a couple tackles. Okay. That, so him sniffing out the little Miles Sanders dump off to the point where he surprised Miles Sanders. And there is no way that Miles Sanders thought he was getting hit there. He hits him right after Sanders secures the catch, pops a fumble, and really kept the Bears in this thing. Like three turnovers by the Eagles and this Bears defense forcing them really kept this team in it for a ball club that never turned the ball over coming into this game. So it was incredibly impressive that the Bears defense was able to do this because they have not been getting those kinds of plays all year. And now here you have Mike Pinnell making it's all on him. That's not a scheme thing. That's not like a luck thing. That is him game film, seeing something, getting out there, making a hustle play and making a great tackle where, and surprising Sanders to force the fumble. So, He gets my trench tribute. It's one of the best defensive line plays that we've seen all year, and I just think we need to appreciate that.
Let's double up on Mike Pinnell, that's my guy as well. First off, your segue was great going into the trench tribute. I like that. Oh yeah, I'm Mike Pinnell. 22 snaps. You said two tackles, one pass knockdown. He had a forced fumble. That was a great play. You know, he's flashed at times this year, but I never thought it was consistent enough in the game to say, hey, you know, this is going to be the guy this week for trench tribute. Part of it is what this week was not a lot of other guys stood out. So Pinnell kind of was the guy that kind of flashed there. I mean, that play, like you said, that was a veteran 31-year-old Mike Pinnell. He's in his film and he's knowing what's going to happen there. And he read that play and he made a great plan there. So he's on a 1-year contract. He probably won't be here next season, but you know, you need these backup guys to kind of come in and flash once in a while. And maybe Mike Pinnell does enough to earn a gig back next season. Who knows?
I think what was particularly impressive is that for a big guy, he was able to get out there and make the play. I don't think that's very easy for a guy his size. And so I think you got to give a little bit of extra bonus points there for him to be able to make that. I mean, that had to just snick instantly for him to be able to get out there and make that play. Just really impressive. I was just really pleased with it. So Pinnell, you get a double trench tribute. That's like a big beef. That's like the big beef. So,
and I did go back and I found who the last winner was. It was Nate Jezong. I'm sure I'm pronouncing it wrong, but he won it. He was in our chat, and we talked about how guys in the chat aren't eligible. And I'm like, no, I'll count those votes too. He was in the chat. He came up in a random number draw, so I can't message him in the chat. So I had to put a comment in there. So hopefully, if anyone knows Nate Jezong,
I'm gonna assume it's D Young.
D Young. Okay,
but maybe Dejong, you know, it's J-O-N-G.
J-O-N-G.
At least that's French? The name. I don't know. I went to school with a DeYoung, and that's how they spelled it. So see? that's what I'm going with.
But okay.
However you pronounce it, we don't really care. We will say
we want to give you $100.
But you gotta get in contact with Lester. You gotta in a different way. So reach out by email or whatever. So all right, let's move on to the tweet of the week. Speaking of names, I don't know how to pronounce. Matt Urich, he's a CBS guy for the Bears. The Bears hung around in this game. That's a positive. This team doesn't quit. That's a good sign for Matt Eberflus. So I wanted to ask you this question. Do you agree? Do you think that the way that this team fights, the way that this team keeps in football games, is a direct reflection of this coaching staff? Is it a direct reflection of our discounting how much talent this is, and maybe they're a little more talented than what we think they are? Like, where do you put this as in terms of where to put some of the credit for these close games that are happening?
Yeah, that's a good call. I think it is Coach Flus. I think the culture has changed in Chicago. You know, I mean, it's not to say it was a bad culture, you know, under Matt Nagy, because he seemed to be a player's coach. The players really liked Matt Nagy when he was let go. There were a lot of stuff came out how they really, you know, liked and respected, you know, their previous coach, but it was a different type of like and respect. I think it was more like he's your buddy, he's your pal. Where I think this year it's more fatherly, it seems, because he's a little older. He's, you know, in his 50s. You know, he's old school mentality. He's a defensive guy, and it really seems like the culture he's building here, along with the guys that Ryan Poles have brought in for him. It's just they're all tryhard guys. They've all bought into that hits principle, which when it was first talked about in, you know, way back when, there are some snickers, like, come on. But football people like this kind of stuff, you know, like as like the outside world, oh, that's corny. But football players, for the most part, they enjoy this weird, corny kind of stuff because it's something you can rally around. You know, the hits principle, it's right there. We expect this of you. It's the accountability. And that's something was kind of lacking in years past. But this year there's accountability. You know, they're all fighting hard for their coach. I mean, Joe Thomas is making plays in the game. You know, who the hell is Joe Thomas? You know what I mean? Jack Sanborn, undrafted free agent. You know, he's out there doing stuff. You know, there's guys that are unheralded that are on both sides of the ball that are just, they're playing as much as they can, but ultimately the talent's just not there, but they're trying.
Yeah, I was reminded when you were talking there, I was reminded again, I made reference to this, but the all or nothing season with the Arizona Cardinals a few years ago, it's one of the best pieces of television that I've seen in a long time. Bruce Arians, very entertaining guy. And one of the things that just kind of stuck out of my mind was there was this moment where he kept calling, this is a cap and t-shirt game. I mean, like if they win the game, they win the division, they put a cap and t-shirt on, right? And I never heard that before. I never heard that phrase before. But they kept, you know, these little cutaways of these players, and these players are all like, man, you got to step it up a little bit. It's a cap and t-shirt game. Yep. And it was like, what, they buy into this stuff, right? So like, I've kind of added that to my vernacular, like, okay, it's a cap and t-shirt game. These guys maybe are a little extra motivated to clinch the division this week, right? And these, you have to kind of find ways to keep these guys motivated throughout. It's a slog. I mean, I'm not playing any games and I'm tired, right? Like, I'm tired of covering this team for 4 months. So imagine trying to get through 17 professional football games. So there are these moments where you could see, we're like, man, these guys just didn't show up. You know, they just kind of got flat out beat because they're not competing here. It's not really happened. They've continued to fight. They've come out. They knew the Eagles were a good team. They watch football. They know that you don't just luck into a 12-1 record. They came out and they fought. So I think there's something to it.
We're going to see them again next week against, you know, they had the best NFC team yesterday. They're going to get the best AFC team on Saturday. So we're going to see this team fight again. And it's going to be cold. It's going to be miserable at Soldier Field. They're calling for like, you know, single digit temps, the wind chill, like horrible. There could be a storm coming in the Chicago area. So, you know, it's extra motivation to get up for these ridiculous, you know, weather games, but I'm excited to see him play. I'm expecting another big loss, but I also want to see Justin Fields and some guys flash, and let's keep the tank train rolling too. I mean, if it's, I want to win, but if I don't get it, we got that pizza in the back still.
Yeah, right? We still got that pizza in the room. All right. Let's head on to your, tweet. You going to share your screen? Is that what's going to happen?
Yeah. Here? Yeah. James Palmer, who does stuff NFL Network. He was in the locker room talking with Darius Slay, and he actually shared a clip. And I want to share the clip because when I heard this, I'm like, it's such a stark contrast to what Bears fans are used to hearing when other defensive players talk about their quarterback.
Justin Fields, like, under control, he's running, he's passing.
Because he's a 4-4 guy. That's what makes it tough. He's not like a 4-7 or nothing like people run down. When he can overfill, he can make you miss and he can run past you. So he's a big threat, man. Chicago got a great upside coming from him, man. They're gonna have a great future with him. Man, he's special. You know, he's a highlight film for real, man. And I'm kid's tough. Y'all seen him, like I said, all too recently. Kid get hit a lot. He gets up and keep going. You know, he had a cramp, went in and came back in, you know, 2-minute drive score. Like, he's a tough kid. So, and I like I said, I salute my hat off to him because, like, it's hard for, like, a quarterback to be that tough. Some quarterback stay in the locker room, knowing his team down two thugs, came back out, and came back and scored. Like, so that's a real tough guy, man. I appreciate the hard work.
Yeah, he seems like a couple.
Now, we take that to what we heard defensive players talk about, Mitch Trubisky, for example. We want to make him play quarterback. We heard something similar about Jay Cutler, you know, back in the Jay Cutler era. You know, they just want to make him throw the ball because they know he'll give it away. You know, the disrespect to the Bears' former signal callers was prevalent. We're not hearing that kind of stuff about Justin Fields. This ain't the first time we've heard a defender praise Justin Fields. It's just strange. I mean, this is not some run-of-the-mill. This is Darius Slay. You know, four Pro Bowls. He knows Chicago because he was the Lions for a long time. He was a Pro Bowler last year, his first year in Philadelphia. So it's cool to me hearing how, you know, it's not just Bears fans that are on the Justin Fields bandwagon. The league is taking notice. You know, the players are taking notice. And it's interesting because Justin Fields, yeah, he's getting his yards in an unconventional manner. You know, a lot of fans aren't used to the running back, the running style from a quarterback and all the yards that way. You know, but he's putting up yards, he's putting up points. The passing is coming along. He's very efficient as a passer. That's kind of coming through. He has an outside chance at a Pro Bowl here.
Yeah, I think it's, I mean, this is big play Slay, right? This is Darius Slay. He's a very good football player. Like you said, he's been to multiple Pro Bowls and he's, you know, he doesn't have to say any of that stuff, right? None of these guys have to say anything nice. I understand the NFL's a little nicer overall. Like, you see a little bit more of that, you know, collegial atmosphere a little bit more now than you maybe used to in the, I don't know, 80s and 90s. You never really heard anybody saying nice things about each other then. But you still see a lot of people trash talking. You still, especially corners, right? Like, corners are notorious for trash talking.
Yes.
He doesn't have to say any of that. And he came out and, man, he can make you miss and he can run right by you. I mean, they know. They see it. It's a different athlete that they're going against. And they said he's tough. You know, a lot of quarterbacks would have just sat in the locker room and not come back out. He came back out and he put another touchdown on. Like, I mean, he's saying it, like, he's telling it real. And I think it's really impressive. It's a fun clip. Again, this season was never going to be about wins and losses. I don't know how many times I have to tell people on Twitter that come at me on this kind of stuff. Like, that's not what this season was about. And if you think it was, then you just weren't paying attention. But this is what this season is about. It's about Justin Fields. It's about the progress and whether or not the Bears have a guy. They got a guy. Everybody sees it. Like you said, Pro Bowl. I'll bet you Justin Fields is going to be on that stupid top 100 player show next year, right? With, you know, I mean, like, stuff like that, right? That's going to – he's a guy. Like, he is going to be the guy for Chicago for a while, and he's going to be the guy on all the posters, on all the promo ads. Like, this is how they're going to sell games. This is – Bears are going to be – they're going to finish potentially 3-14. Like, that's not out of the – that's not out of the realm of possibility for them to finish with three wins. And I'll bet you they get four primetime games next year, right?
Oh, like, yeah.
They're not going to cut Fields out of primetime. They're going to still put them in there. Yeah. Big market. They can sell Justin Fields. Like, it's not going to hurt them at all. So this is real. This is a real thing. So let's move on to caught up in a numbers game. My number is 86.9. That is the passer rating for Jalen Hurts when targeting A.J. Brown versus Jalen Johnson in coverage. Now, that's a fine passer rating. There's nothing wrong with it, right? Yeah. This is Jalen Hurts, who's in the MVP conversation, and he is throwing to A.J. Brown, who it's like perfectly matched up for. And A.J. Brown has just been eating like crazy all year. That is well below the annual, the average this year for Jalen Hurts when targeting A.J. Brown. And you can't do this, Like, you cannot take out the 68-yard gain. That you can't do that. That's not how stats work. Other than that, that 68-yard gain, the passer rating was 58. Right. So Jalen had the one big play that he gave up. Obviously, he wants that one back. But what I saw was, you know, it's 5 catches on 11 targets against one of the best receivers in the league in an offense that's just clicking and humming right now. That's pretty good. Only 3 of those catches went for first downs. That's really good. 11 times targeted and only give up 3 first downs. This, you can't shut these guys down. And Jalen Johnson is going to have his opportunities to play some of the best wide receivers in the game here. As long as he's healthy here, he's going to be able to get Stephon Diggs next week. He's going to be able to get Justin Jefferson in the last week, assuming that the Vikings are alive to play their starters. And so he's going to have his opportunities to continue to play against these really good wide receivers and show just how good he is. And when the Bears come back into a better record, he's already kind of turning some hits. He's already kind of showing that he can match up, he can play. And I was just really impressed with him. I thought that was a good game out of him. I don't know. You're looking for silver linings from this Bears defense, and I think it starts with Jalen Johnson.
Yeah, I'm with you. I got a little more on him later on in the show. He's just he's a good football player, and he's kind of shown that during his career. The injuries have kind of nagged him a little bit here and there. And you mentioned that there he has a rib injury. He's going to try and fight through. He talked about it today. He's going to see if he can play through it. I mean, if he's not 100%, 3-11, sit him down. You know, this season's about next season. That's just how it is. You know, get a chance to look at some of the younger guys. But yeah, he had a nice game. I mean, I was tweeting about him during the game as I was watching it live. He just, you know, he was sticky in coverage. He was physical. You know, he was making plays, making tackles. And then you talk about the big catch. Great throw from an MVP candidate. Great catch by a legitimate number one receiver in the game. Big physical player. Man, can you imagine if Justin Fields had a weapon like that? Wow, you know, and you know, AJ Brown, Dante Smith, you know, there's some good weapons in Philly, not to mention the great offensive line. So, you know, again, we talk about this is the path we hope the Bears are on, is to get something like what Philly has here.
Absolutely. What did you have to this week?
My number this week is 1-1, as in David Montgomery had a receiving touchdown and a rushing touchdown in the same game, which is the first time he's ever done it in his entire career. So I asked our guy, Jack Silverstein, because I know he has the Stathead membership over at Pro Football Reference, to dig in some history for me.
Uh-oh.
So I thought it'd be a little further than this, but do you know who the last Bear to do this was?
Forte.
It came last season.
Oh, no kidding.
Darnell Mooney did it last year. Yeah, I was a little surprised as well. But okay. Prior to that, it was, and here's a couple of great names for Bears of the past. Both in the 2015 season, Kadeem Carey did it.
Wow.
And Jeremy Langford did it.
Wow.
Yeah, I never would expect. If you would have gave me a million guesses, I never would have pulled those two names. Kadeem Carey, a quick a nugget for the WCG old school faithful. We used to have a poster who swore up and down Kadeem Carey was the next Walter Payton. He would not stop about it his entire rookie year, and then he kind of just faded away. I don't think he's even with the site anymore, but crazy. But I do have a quiz for you. So this has been done about close to 50 times throughout Bears history. Uh-oh. So I'm going to ask you who the top players that have the most 1-1s, one receiving one rushing touchdown in Bears history. And there are, I got top four, but there are a couple ties. So I'm going to give you, you got 6 names to pull me here.
Okay. Peyton.
Peyton is the second. He did it 7 times in his illustrious career.
Okay. I will say Matt Forte.
Matt Forte is on the list, and prior to Jeremy Langford, Matt Forte did it 3 in a row, and he has those are his only 3. So he is 3, so tied with another Chicago Bear.
Gale Sayers.
Gale Sayers has did it 4 times. He's on the list as well.
George McAfee.
George McAfee is not on the list. There's a strike. We're giving you 3 strikes. I'm going to go with this the 3 strike here. So McAfee is your first strike. There's someone that tied with Forte with 3, someone tied with Sayers at 4, and you still haven't got the top guy yet.
Oh, crap. That's not good. How about Rick Caceres?
Rick Caceres is not on there.
Okay.
Strike two. Man,
I'm not doing it. I'm trying to pull an old name because I feel like there's an old name. Is it not an old name?
Not that old. It's not a little old. Older than us, but not like back in the McAfee days.
Well, I'm surprised with McAfee because he was such a dual threat. Yeah. So that surprises me that he wouldn't have been on there. So but not way back in the day is what you're saying. So stop trying to pull the crazy name out of the out of the books here.
Yeah.
I don't know. Is that a random name?
There's one name where you may think, you know, that's surprising to you.
How about like a Brad Muster?
Brad Muster is on the list. He tied with Gale Sayers with four.
Okay.
Brad Muster, of course, is a talented fullback back in the day.
Okay.
Great in Tecmo Bowl for those of you that play that game.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you're missing the number one and you're missing the gentleman who is tied with Matt Forte with three.
How about Thomas Jones?
That's
not enough. Not enough games. Not enough games. All right. Who'd I miss?
Willie Gallimore.
Oh, see, that's the old guy I was going to say. I was definitely, that was my next
that
guess.
That was your one old guy. That's not too old. I said not too old. A little
that's
older
pretty
than
old. That's 50s.
Is it 50s? That's old.
50s, 60s, right? Okay. Anyway.
My bad. I kind of
I was going to say Gallimore. When I said Caceres and Gallimore, that was my double guess. That's fine. I'll take the loss. I should have just went with it.
You missed number one, though, with nine of them, Neil Anderson.
Oh, man. Really? I wouldn't have pictured him much out of the backfield. So
he was such a talented player. He had a nice four-run stretch where he was probably the best back in the game. Four straight Pro Bowls after Peyton left. And then it kind of just fell off really quick for him. But as far as Bear lore, he was a very good running back.
Yeah, I wouldn't have thought of him catching the ball much out of the back.
Nine of them. Nine, man. One of the ones, yeah.
All right, well, Brad Muster, and I want to give myself credit for Gallimore a little bit because that was the name that I was going to.
I steered you. I got right. You away there.
That's all right. I shouldn't have taken the – I shouldn't have let it enter my brain. I should have just went with it. So I thought McAfee, man, I'm bummed about McAfee. Yeah. That felt like that was going to happen. Cause he was kind of the original, like all purpose, like, you know, he punt returns, kick returns, catch the ball out of the backfield. Like he just did everything, you know, he played good corner. I don't know. Anyway.
I'll give you one really old name. I know Jack mentioned to me in our chat that the first guy to do it was Jack Manders.
Automatic Jack Manders.
He was the first bear to do it. He told me so.
Okay. Well, he's a good kicker. That's the story on Automatic Jack. So, all right. Well, I failed the quiz. Now, hang my head in shame as we move on to the Fields report. So Justin Fields, 14 to 21, 152 yards, two touchdowns, no interceptions. I think that's important against this Eagles defense and particularly trying to come back in the game. Six sacks.
Six sacks.
61 yards loss, so it gives you a lot of work to do in this week's sack watch. 119.5 passer rating, which is very impressive, particularly again against this Eagles team. You know, the Eagles pass defense was like best in the league. They had the fewest yards given up coming into this game, and you know, again, Fields only has 152, but that's what they were doing to everybody all year. But the fact that he was as efficient as he was incredibly impressive. 15 carries, that's a little high, but 15 carries for 95 yards gives him exactly 1,000 on the year. He is the third quarterback to do this all time. Lamar Jackson has done it twice, and Michael Vick has done it once. And so he's currently in fourth place all time. He gets six more yards. He'll pass Lamar Jackson for third. He gets 40 more yards from where he's at right now. He'll pass Michael Vick, and then he needs 207 overall here to break Lamar Jackson's record as a quarterback. He's got three games to do it. It's less than 70 yards a game. I think he can do it.
Can you imagine? I think he had three long runs that he got called back this season over goofy penalties. Then of course he had the one where he stepped out of bounds, yesterday. So left a lot of yards in the field out there. So, yeah, Fields is, again, we talk about him as a passer. He doesn't have a lot of volume. Okay, he's just not being asked to pass a lot. Plus, he's being sacked a lot. Plus, he's being forced to scramble a lot. So, a lot of the stuff Justin Fields does, you mentioned the pass rating, that 119.5, that's the highest any quarterback has done against the Eagles this season, any starter this year. They had been allowing 76.3 pass rating. Again, best in the league. Justin Fields came out and just obliterated that. The previous best against Philly was Ryan Tannehill's 97.0. So Justin Fields came out. He was efficient. He was good with the ball in his hands. Of course, the touchdowns inflate that, but you know, both those touchdown passes were nice passes. He had the one on a nice hot route read to David Montgomery. The other one, he's kind of scrambled around, and his scrambling does a lot against the defense. One thing it does, it pulls defenders. So Brian Pringle wide open. But again, kudos to Justin Fields for keeping his eyes up and seeing that guy. So, you know, you always talk about pass rating. It's not a perfect stat, you know, but there's some positive to take when you look at the overall gameplay.
I mean, in some ways, the degree, it's like, I don't know anything about this. So I've just decided I'm stepping out onto a ledge that I don't know anything about. So please forgive me, but you ever watch the Olympics and there's nothing else on TV. And so you stay for the diving competition because you have nothing better to do with your life. As I don't understand it. I don't understand diving at all, but there's like the degree of difficulty. Yeah. Right. I think gymnastics has the same thing, right? Or like the based on figure skating, right? They have a degree of difficulty. So based on what you're choosing to do, there's you get more points. It's a higher point for you. And if you execute that higher degree of difficulty well, that's how you win competitions. Okay. This is the highest degree of difficulty that there is. This is an incredibly good defense. The only defense probably that I would take above the Eagles defense right now would be the Niners, right? The Niners are playing really good football. And so, you know, take that away. They're at least by anybody's measure, they're a top five defense. Degree of difficulty doesn't get much higher than this. And he was very efficient. He found a way to move the ball and score points on this team that quite frankly, just doesn't give up much for yards or points. And he kept the ball. Like he did not give the ball away. I mean, he's been really good at that this last half of the year. He hasn't been giving the ball away. So I don't know, man. Like, I get that they're not winning these games, but once you kind of turn away from that very basic marker, I think you have to be really impressed with what he's been able to do since that mini bye week.
Yeah, the Eagles had the most sacks in the league, and I think with their six, they're still on top. The Bills next week, you know, they're, I think, top 10 in sacks. But then they get a couple teams in the Lions and the Vikings. You know, their pass rush is not quite as ferocious. So maybe Chicago's pass pro can settle in a little bit. And maybe we can see a little more throwing from Justin Fields as far as all the scrambling, all the running. So I'm excited to see what he does these next few games. I'm not expecting a win in any of them. I think the Bears will probably be an underdog in every game. Maybe the Vikes, if it comes out early, that they sit Cousins. But I don't know. I mean, it's hard to see what they'll do because no one knows. There's only one bye now in the playoffs. So it's like, even if they get the second seed, you know, they know they're playing. So they may sit them. They may not. Some coaches have a philosophy where they don't want their guys to get rusty. So they play them anyway. So regardless, I think Justin Fields can put up some points and yards on the Vikings and on the Lions.
Yeah. I'll just say this about the Vikings is as long as they have the ability to get the number one seed, obviously they'll keep playing, but I think as long as the number two seed is in question, they'll keep playing, because if you have the two seed, you're guaranteed two home playoff games, assuming you win in wild card weekend. So, you know, a lot of people say, well, you know, they'll just take it off if, you know, because who cares between two and three seed? Oh, they care.
Yeah,
they definitely want that home game in that next round. So that's still live. So keep watching to make sure that the Niners and the Vikings have a similar record. The Niners have the tiebreaker for all of the scenarios I was running anyway. The Niners would move above the Vikings in seed if they have the same record at the end of the year. So the Vikings just have to, the Niners just have to tie them. So as long as there's some either a tie or the Vikings are one game up on the Niners for that seeding, they'll play their starters. So just,
you know, plus it came out today that Jalen Hurts, the when Trevis Gibson, he's Trevis now again. I see Moose Johnson is back calling him Trevis. So when Trevis Gibson fell on him, he kind of hurt his shoulder. It's not a broken collarbone, just strained. Probably going to miss some time. So if you're missing Jalen Hurts, You know, I know they got the Cowboys this week, I believe.
Cowboys this weekend, yeah.
That's a tough team. So, you know, the Eagles may not, you know, coast to that best record overall, especially without their MVP candidate, Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, it'd be interesting. Also makes my Bills best record in the league bet come live again. So, yeah, that'd be nice.
Nice.
I'll take what I can get. All right, let's take a quick break. And on the other side of this, we'll do everybody's favorite segment, the Three Bears.
Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. As a parent, you want your child to have every opportunity. But giving them the tools they need to tackle every challenge, that takes a team. Now more than ever, educational support tailored exactly to what your child needs can make all the difference. That's why parents have trusted Sylvan Learning for 45 years as the ultimate teammate in their child's educational journey, instilling in them a love for learning and a passion for reaching the next level. And Sylvan's Insight Assessment can identify gaps in learning and areas that could be of concern for your child. It's a 360-degree view into your child's learning that you can't find anywhere else, and helps ensure that your child didn't miss something in school that might put them at a disadvantage in the future. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
All right, Three Bears time, hot bowl of porridge, cold bowl of porridge, just right. I'm going to go very basic. I'll do it, make it really quick. Hot bowl, Justin Fields. I really think degree of difficulty for me, I couldn't envision them keeping it close. I'd be completely honest with you. I just couldn't envision it. You got to give a little bit of credit, obviously, to the defense for slowing down the Eagles and keeping them off the scoreboard. But Fields kept them in this thing, man. And he's, you know, again, that's a really efficient line, 119 pass rating. You don't luck into something like that against the Eagles. Those guys were impressed by him. He had 95 yards in rushing. Like, I understand the spirit of it is a guy that's, you know, impressing you beyond what you expect. Maybe you say, well, this is what we expect from him.
Yeah.
This is a high degree of difficulty. Yeah. We haven't seen necessarily this degree of difficulty for him. I got to give it to him. I got to give it to him. It's basic, but I got to give it to him.
I mean, we can go with him most weeks. You know, he just does stuff. You know, he does fantastic stuff. You know, that run, I actually did a tweet earlier today because I saw that run where he got called out of bounds. Watching it live, my first thought was Steve Young, that iconic run he had against the Vikings back in 88. You know, it's, you know, growing up, I watched a lot of NFL film stuff, so that was always replayed. So I saw that run, and that's my first thought of that. So I actually tweeted out back-to-back videos showing those two runs, and it's just, he does something special every single week. He does something where you're like, you know, it's just magical watching him play football. And I hope he stays healthy. I hope this whole thing is built how we want it to be built. And I hope we can finally have a outstanding quarterback in the city of Chicago for the first time in forever.
It's a long awesome. Time. Longer long than time. We've been around.
Long time. So for my hot, you know, I'm going a little more in the spirit of what's hot is a guy that performed better than I thought. Undrafted free agent cornerback, Jalen Jones. He got the start over a, Kendall Wilder, who was a healthy scratch. Now, he was coming off an injury, Wilder was, but, you know, he had practice in full the whole week. You know, the coaching staff talked about how they kind of weren't sure if he'd be active or not, even though he practiced in full. He was active. He was a healthy scratch. Maybe he just wanted to give him a little extra time with the injury to be on the safe side. But regardless, Jalen Jones has been taking advantage of a lot of playing time this season. He played 64 snaps. He was the starting outside guy when they went to nickel. Kyler Gordon kicked inside, and then they put, you know, Jalen Jones outside. Five tackles. You know, nothing too spectacular, but, you know, he's just a guy that's maybe playing his way into a future with this team. He got to start against the Packers. He played pretty good there. You know, we talk about this fantastic offense for Philly, and, you know, they put up 25 points, which is – from our standpoint, 25 is great, but, you know, that's not really what they're used to. You know, they've been doing more than this. So I got to go Jalen Jones this week for the hot.
Yeah, I like it. We got a lot of Jalens.
A lot of
Jalens. A lot of Joneses.
A lot of Joneses. Right?
It's yeah. kind of a It's kind of the perfect name for this team. It's obvious that he was going to sign here because there's Jalen's and Jones's all over. So, yep, good stuff. I like that. I have no notes, no argument there. Let's flip it around. Cold bowl of porridge. I'm going to Velus Jones.
There it is. Yeah.
Another Jones.
Yeah.
I mean, is he like single-handedly given the Bears a top five pick? I mean, like these are huge fumbles in pretty key situations that he's had. And at some point you just have to kind of look at it and say, all right, like either you got to like be very generous and just write off the rookie year and say, let's try it again next year. Or you have to say, this ain't it, man. This might not be your thing.
That's my guy too. Velus Jones Jr. This is his third fumble now this season. And he's got what?
Like 7 or 8
touches. I'm like, well, come on, dude. That's not good. Coach Eberflus has talked about him a little bit in his post-game presser and again today in his Monday presser. And you can just hear the disappointment in his voice when he talks about Jones, you know. And he was asked if he was going to, you know, go on the bench, you know, if this is something that was bench-worthy. And he didn't say no. He didn't say yes. He kind of like, again, he says he's very stern. You can just hear his disappointment when he talks about him, something the coaching staff will talk about. But when you're missing Chase Claypool, N'Keal Harry, Equanimeous St. Brown without with an injury, you know, actually Velus Jones got the start this week. They started off in a 3-receiver set. He was out there starting with the unit. So they don't have a lot at receiver, you know, so he's probably going to get reps because they have no one else. If everyone's back and healthy, maybe, yeah, you put him to the bench. But as bad as he's looked, I'd rather see him than Dante Pettis still. Just because you got to put him out there. Like, it's a fine line because he's clearly pressing because of the mistakes. He's clearly pressing because he's a third-round draft pick. And, you know, he was talked up in the preseason. He had a nice, you know, nice camp. You know, he did some stuff. And, you know, so I'm sure he had high expectations. So he's pressing when he gets the ball in his hands, wanting to do something really bad. But it's just, he's got to learn how to chill, learn how to just let the game come to him.
Yeah, Simba Webster got some
Simba Webster got some reps,
I think, probably because of Velus Jones, yeah. Right? And like Simba Webster comes, he gets targeted, he gets a catch, and then like he gets up and I think he was just kind of like, oh, I'm still in? Okay. And then like he's like going to the line, he's like, what's happening? What's happening? And yeah. He gets targeted the next, it gets another catch. It was like all of a sudden Simba Webster is in this game plan. This is the most bizarre thing. But again, you're so far down on the depth chart where you're starting Velus Jones. You don't necessarily want to. And he does that to you. And then you have to go even deeper. And a guy like Simba, who's a special teamer, is now out there getting targets, right? Justin has to throw somebody. So, I mean, it's pretty insane what's happening with that, but it's rough, man. I mean, at some point, you know, you take away those fumbles that he's had this year. I mean, the Bears have a couple more wins, I think. I'm not saying they would have won this game, but like they win that Washington game. You know, they're all in weird big spots too.
It's be just, careful. You're going to have people on Twitter now. They're going to have like a Velus Jones conspiracy tank thing going on.
They're going to talk about how it was worth the third round pick because of all the extra value that he's added to the Bears draft pick. Right. Yeah. Anyway. All right. Just right. You mentioned it earlier, but David Montgomery, 12 carries, 53 yards, 4.4 average, one touchdown. He added 3 catches for 38 yards and another touchdown. I think he's just been really impressive out of the backfield as a ball catcher. And I just want to see more of that. It was one of my bets on the Gambler's Den, prop bets. There was over under was 2 catches for David Montgomery. And I was like, I'm going over there. And he barely cleared it, but he cleared it with a touchdown. So I was happy to see that, but they need to get him more involved. I think they're not necessarily appreciating just how much value he brings, particularly with a banged up receiving core and a, you know, low talent receiver room. Let's see David Montgomery get more of his touches in the receiving game rather than just ball carries. So for me, it's David Montgomery. Really impressive game. Again, 2 touchdowns is really nice. Keep giving him the ball. Find ways to get it to him.
I'd rather see him get some of those screens than Cole Kmet. And I'm a Cole Kmet fan. I like Cole Kmet, but sometimes I think, you know, Montgomery's a little better option there. I think he can run some of those option routes. I think he has that kind of skill set. I mean, we've seen the Bears, you know, in even in past regimes where they've kind of split him out, let him kind of work outside and go through the route tree there. You can run him on a slant. You can do stuff with David Montgomery. You can get him involved in other ways except for just as a runner. So, yeah, I'm with you. I want to see more David Montgomery. Quick story about Montgomery. I actually saw him when I was out Christmas shopping over the bye week. He was at the Vernon Hills Mall. I was sitting down with my family, and he kind of walked by, and I looked, and I'm like, that's Montgomery. He looked at me, gave me the nod, I gave him the nod, and that was it. I'm not really going to go bother him when he's out there shopping, but real little guy, man. I mean, I'm pretty big, so to me, most guys are little, but I didn't recognize him at first. I thought he was he looks much bigger on TV.
Well, I would imagine that as your 6'6" frame, that most running backs look pretty small. It'd have to take probably a Derrick Henry type for you to be like, well, that guy's pretty big. Yeah. What about you? Nice. What'd you have?
For me, my Jalen Johnson, talked to him earlier on the top. Jalen Johnson, this is the kind of play I expect out of him. Mm-hmm. You know, he was shadowing A.J. Brown right to left. He wasn't taking him in the slot. You know, they were letting Kyler Gordon take him when he went to the slot, which I guess that's good for Kyler Gordon if they have the kind of trust in him to do that. But he was going right to left. Whenever he was outside, A.J. Brown, Jalen Johnson was on him, 3 pass breakups, 6 tackles. Again, we're talking about one of the best receivers in the game, a legitimate number one guy. I mean, when Bears fans say, hey, they want a number one, this is the kind of guy they're talking about. He was available last offseason. You know, that's another story. But overall, nice game from Jalen Johnson. He's kind of on that fringe Pro Bowl potential kind of guy. And, you know, still fairly young in the league, 3 years. So just right, Jalen Johnson. Let's just keep this going. Hopefully the rib injury is not too bad, because I think he's, like you said, some nice tests coming up through the next few weeks. And I'd rather have him out there than, you know, Ken DeVilder back out there.
Yeah, again, with those talented wide receiver is going to be rough. Although, who knows what's going to happen in a blizzard? I mean, Bears games this year and weather have just been kind of insane. But in a blizzard against the Bills, maybe it doesn't really matter if you have corners. You just need, you know, more linebackers. You need to get like 6 Sanborns out there and just have a bunch of linebackers making tackles across.
Jack Sanborn's hurt now, so man,
is he really?
Yeah, he got hurt toward the end of the game, and when Coach Flus talked about him today, he didn't sound optimistic, kind of like one of these, we'll wait and see what happens. And the first injury report actually comes out tomorrow on Tuesday, since they have the early game this week. So we'll get that early report Tuesday afternoon.
Okay. Well, I thought that Sanborn did play pretty well when he was in there, because he was able to really kind of track Hurts. He had that really nice play where he caught him from behind, kind of snuck in behind. I didn't know he had enough speed to do that. You know,
Jalen Twitter told me he was slow, so I don't know what's going on there.
Hurts isn't the fastest quarterback in the world, obviously, but you know, to make the decision to go behind the line of scrimmage and then catch him from behind, it's a really nice play. It was really, really good to see. I was hoping to maybe watch a little Sanborn versus Josh Allen. That would have been pretty fun. So hopefully he's okay and he can get back in this one. So, well, let's close out here. What's going on with you right now as we kind of turn towards the final few games? We're kind of getting everything kind of buttoned up here, the end of the calendar year, end of the schedule year, as we start to kind of peek towards off-season content. I don't know how much I want to reveal quite yet. Well, we got some fun stuff lined up. What about you? What do you got?
Yeah, I mean, I mentioned that to everyone, all the guys at that podcast stuff, the video stuff, and the writing stuff at WCG. I'm like, now's the time to start thinking about it. Start thinking about the draft stuff. I mean, Jacob Infante has been doing draft stuff all year. It's always draft season for him. So he's always putting scouting reports up there. I believe Jacob is going to the Senior Bowl this year. So that should be fun. Robert may be going. You may be going to the East West. Are you still kind of working out some details on that?
I have a theory that the Bears coaching staff might be invited to the Shrine Bowl. And if that happens, I'm going to try my level best to get out there. Life may prevent me from doing that, but I may try to get out to the Shrine Bowl in Vegas to try to get close to this Eberflus coaching staff. Yeah. Let's put it that way.
Should be fun. A lot of cool stuff in the offseason. You mentioned a couple projects coming up, and real excited once we get a chance to make those announcements. But yeah, there's some neat stuff coming up. Obviously, I got Sack Watch. I already started working on it. I don't even have the All-22 yet from Robert, but I'm like, man, with six sacks, I got to get an early start, see what I can see. And luckily, I guess, not the right word, but some of the sacks were so obvious when I was watching through them. I don't really need the All-22 to know that, you know, Justin Fields got wrecked within 2 seconds. That's probably going to be on the lineman.
Yeah, it looked like Cody Whitehair is probably going to get called out. Looked like Braxton Jones is going to get called out. So you got plenty of work to do. We'll put it that way.
You know, I saw the PFF. Someone shared those in a chat I'm in, and they don't have Braxton Jones responsible for any of the sacks according to the PFF. And
oh, okay.
When I was watching through it, I'm like, yeah, this is going to be on Braxton Jones. He missed a stunt coming back to him. I mean, maybe I'll look at the All-22 again to kind of see, but. Yeah, I think I may differ from those this time.
Yeah, that's what I saw in real time, but that's okay. I can be wrong. I'll admit that. I can be wrong. All right, well, we'll get out of here. We'll stick around for the YouTube questions for a while. If you want to join us on YouTube, please do so. We come at you 6 p.m. Central Time every day after the game. Monday, almost always. Tuesdays, if it's Monday nights and all that kind of stuff. We're not going to do that on Christmas, though. We're going to wait until Monday next week. So, and probably the January 2nd too. We'll stick with Mondays as we move forward. But until next time, thanks for listening. Bear down.